Reproduction is a complicated process. The male and the female germ cells develop in the sex glands, the testis and the ovary. When they unite, growth starts and one cell develops into a complete human being. The human egg or ovum develops in the mother's ovary. There are two ovaries, almond-shaped organs located in the lower part of the abdomen. In the mature woman, one of them produces a fresh egg each month. It is exceedingly small, just visible to the naked eye. When it breaks loose from the ovary, it is carried down a tube called the fallopian tube to the uterus or womb. If it does not meet a male cell, it dies, and the lining of the uterus is shed as menstrual flow. But if it does meet a male cell or spermatozoon, it may become fertilized. The fertilized egg then plants itself in the lining of the uterus, and a new individual grows there. The male germ cell, the spermatozoon, is so small that it can only be seen with a microscope. It is shaped like a tadpole with a head and a long tail, a long lashing tail which propels it forward. Some 300 million spermatozoa enter the vagina during one sexual intercourse and begin their journey up the uterus in search of an ovum. Most of them die on the way. Some may reach the ovum, but only one succeeds in breaking through its outer shell. The gate then locks instantly. This is the moment of fertilization. The head of the spermatozoon, which contains all the hereditary traits of the father, joins the central mass or nucleus of the egg, which contains all the hereditary traits of the mother. A violent mixing of these two nuclear masses then takes place, and the hereditary traits of the baby are thereby determined once and for all. His looks, his sex, and his inherent personality traits. Actually, it is the father that determines the sex of the baby. There are two kinds of spermatozoa present in equal numbers. If one kind fertilizes the egg, the baby will be a boy. If the other, it will be a girl. The fertilized egg begins to grow and divide at once. From one cell, many cells are formed, and gradually it begins to take on form. When it is about a week old, it plants itself in the wall of the uterus. It sends out finger-like projections into the lining of the uterus, which reach the mother's blood vessels and form the link between mother and baby. This connecting link is known as the placenta, or afterbirth. It grows into a reddish-gray mass that looks like a pancake on the wall of the uterus. It acts as the baby's nurse, collecting the oxygen and nourishment from the mother's blood and passing it on to the baby by means of the umbilical cord, a white cord about 20 inches long, which connects the placenta to the baby's navel. A cavity filled with fluid surrounds the growing baby in the uterus. This is called the bag of waters. In it, the baby floats safely, cushioned from bumps. By the time the pregnancy is first suspected, a week or two after the first missed period, the most important part of the baby's development is over, even though he is only a quarter of an inch long. Most of his internal structures have developed, but externally he looks more like a fish than a human being. At one stage of his development, he actually has gills like a fish, a feature inherited from our early fish ancestors millions of years ago. A month or so later, he begins to develop arms and legs, and his head takes on a more human appearance. For a while, he even has a tail. By the beginning of the fifth month, he is about 8 inches long and has become quite human in appearance. Arms and legs are well developed, and the first signs of life are felt. The heartbeat can be heard by the doctor, and the mother's abdomen is noticeably larger. By the sixth month, he will be kicking actively. A few babies born during the sixth month have survived. Every week that passes, however, makes him stronger and improves his chance of survival. How does a woman tell when she is pregnant? Missing a period is usually the first sign, but it isn't 100% reliable. Menstruation may stop for other reasons, and it may continue for a month after pregnancy starts. Nausea or morning sickness occurs in about two-thirds of all pregnant women. It usually appears shortly after the missed period and lasts for only a few weeks. Sometimes there is emotional stability at this time. Whatever the symptoms, the woman who suspects that she is pregnant should see a doctor at once. Good medical care throughout pregnancy is the best insurance one can have. Other body changes occur later in pregnancy. The breasts grow larger and firmer and may throb or tingle. The areola, the brown pigmented area around the nipple, enlarges and tends to darken. Frequent urination sometimes occurs early, but more often toward the end of pregnancy. Enlargement of the abdomen may be noticed by the mother herself by the end of the third month, but does not become obvious until about the fifth month. The first fluttering movement of the baby, it is called feeling life, is usually noticed about the fourth or fifth month. Later, the baby is able to give a strong kick. The average pregnancy lasts 266 days, that is 280 days from the beginning of the last menstrual period. You can't figure the date closely, however. A week or two in either direction is common. Pregnancy is a perfectly normal experience. A pregnant woman is not an invalid and does not need to be treated as such. She can and should continue her normal activities unless they are very strenuous. If she wants to continue with a job, she can do so until a few weeks before term. She should keep up her personal appearance and dress well, though comfortably. It is a time of life to enjoy without paying too much attention to sage advice or horror stories of friends and relatives. Take them with a grain of salt. And if you have worries, take them to your doctor. Medical care throughout pregnancy is important. It gives the doctor a chance to prevent complications and to treat them before they become serious. On his first examination, he will want to do an internal examination, taking measurements to see if the bony birth canal is large enough to permit the passage of the baby. He will also want to take the blood pressure, to examine the urine, to examine the patient's blood for anemia, to do a Wassermann test, as well as to test the blood for the Rh factor. Pregnancy does not require a special diet, just a good diet. The old saying about eating for two is misleading. Usually no more food is needed than before. Although the growing baby needs nourishment, his demands until the latter part of pregnancy are extremely small. Eating more means that the mother will gain extra weight, which may cause her trouble. Some gain in weight is normal in pregnancy. About 20 pounds may be expected, half a pound a week. There is a popular superstition that underfeeding will keep the baby small and make for an easy labor. This simply isn't true. The baby will take the nourishment he needs from the mother in any case and will be born at about the same weight, even if the mother is half starved. If you are underweight at the start, it is a good idea to gain a little more than the usual 20 pounds. If you are overweight, try to gain a little less. Keeping down the weight is a question of cutting down calories without cutting down on essential foods. This means less sweet and starchy foods. There are now a number of reducing foods on the market which are adequate in all the dietary essentials, but low in calories.